Welcome to Straightforward, the engaging audio series of North Group Consultants, designed to provide you with direction for your future. In this edition, Roger welcomes his guests, Joel and Greg Zinn of Zinn Insurance. Roger, Joel, and Greg will be discussing the Zinn family leadership journey. Now, from North Group Consultants, here's Roger North.
One of the subjects I enjoy talking with clients and friends about frequently is the difference between privately held businesses and publicly held businesses. Of course, when we read the newspaper, we generally read most about publicly held businesses. But there are real fundamental differences between privately held businesses and publicly held businesses. Of course, owning a business entitles you basically to two things. One, it entitles you to some influence over the direction that the business takes. And secondly, it entitles you to a share of the money that the business makes. When people invest in publicly held businesses, they are primarily interested, I think, in making money. But those who own privately held businesses can make a different series of choices. And that's what I enjoy talking most with privately held company owners about, is that you can make a series of choices based on your lifestyle, based on your concern for your employees and your customers, and it's a whole different set of decisions that you can make when you own a business privately. In fact, if we would look at the statistics, while we read most often about the General Electrics and General Motors of the world, they comprise only a very small percentage of businesses in America. In fact, well over 95% of the businesses in America are privately held. And there's a special case, a special category of businesses, I think, amongst privately held businesses. And those businesses I like to refer to as generational family businesses. And in my view, they're the bedrock of the American economy. And in fact, they're the businesses that we enjoy working with at North Group Consultants. We mainly work with generational family businesses, those businesses that are privately held. Their stockholders are family members. And in many cases, they're in the second, third, or perhaps even fourth generation of that business. And in doing so, they have dearly held values that they've brought into those businesses over the years and a wonderful history of serving both clients and their employees. I have one of those great businesses with me here today. I have both the second and third generation owners of my good friends of Zinn Insurance in Myerstown and Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And I want to welcome second generation Joel Zinn and third generation Greg Zinn. Welcome to Straightforward, Joel and Greg.
Pleasure to be
here. Thanks, Roger. Hi.
And this will be a bit of an experiment for me because most of the times I'm just talking to one person, and today I'm going to be talking to father and son at the same time. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And in fact, it's part of the point of our conversation today is just to get the perspective of how a business like yours goes through the generations and successfully keeps a thriving business within the family. And in fact, Joel, your father, Clifford, started the business, I believe, in 1938. Is that correct?
That's right. He did, yes.
And you were born only slightly before that. We won't get in too much into age here today because you defy age with your looks. I can easily say that. But I'd enjoy hearing just a little bit of the history of Zinn Insurance, which your dad started in 1938.
My dad started the business in 1938. In fact, he wasn't a family business prior to that. My grandfather had a steel casting business, which they lost in the Depression.
Oh, wow. I didn't even
know
that.
And my father came out of that and started the insurance business on a part-time basis in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And he also worked part-time for Alcoa as an inspector during the Second World War.
Okay.
They had a plant in Cressona, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And the business kind of grew and became full-time for him sometime in the 40s. And my mother was involved in it, too.
Okay.
I mean, she did the bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. I probably started the business when I was 14 or 15.
started young back then.
We were at home, and my mother got me started in bank reconciliations and filing, and I got to know some of the workings of the insurance agents at that time. I went to college, came out of college, and decided that was a good opportunity for me with my father. From there, we kind of kept growing. We acquired some agencies. As I stayed in the business and as our children came along, we had two sons, mm-hmm. Greg and Jonathan. Got to looking ahead sometimes, even when they were young, as to whether or not they would perpetuate what we had started. My dad had the business on a good foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to build on that as best I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was solid. And if the boys did express interest in it, it was a business that they could consequently build on too. However, my wife and I always made the decision that we would never push our boys into being in the business. If they wanted to be in it, fine. If they found their niche in some other career, that was fine too.
That's a theme that I hear often among family business owners, that there's a desire to perpetuate the business through family if possible, and that's probably the highest desire of many business owners that I talk with. But at the same time, there's a universal desire that the children not feel pressure, that they be able to find their own way in the world, and if that way ends up being related to the family business, all the better.
Well, I don't think it's right to have a child make a decision on the basis of what his parents or his grandparents did.
Do you remember how that worked with you and your dad? Was it just kind of assumed because it was in the home that you would help out, or was college a time for you to decide what direction you wanted to go in business? What do you remember about those days and making that choice?
Well, I kind of remember the reputation my father had and the respect he had in the community, Maritime being a small community as it is, and I was very comfortable in those surroundings. I didn't have any other desire really to go on to anything else. I thought at that time insurance looked like something that I could be satisfied with. I could have a good living in it and something that I had a good foundation.
And remain in your home community too, which must have been something that you were attracted to do.
That's correct, yeah.
Did your father do a little bit of real estate business too? Because they were fairly common combinations back then. Wasn't it fairly common for real estate and insurance to be combined?
My father never was in the real estate business.
Okay.
He
encouraged
me to go into it for the reason you just spoke of. Because at that time, insurance and real estate was kind of related businesses in those years. And I did get into that. I became a realtor and consequently had an office in Lebanon and had people working for me in the real estate business as well.
Greg, what are your earliest memories of your dad in business? Are they similar to what your dad had with your grandfather, or different because the business wasn't housed in your home anymore?
Growing up with the family business, I know Dad devoted a lot of time, a lot of evening appointments, and at one time we had Saturday hours, so going in on a Saturday morning. So it was always something that was just part of the routine that Dad was working on the business. My own experience in the agency started when I was 16.
Okay. So you started pretty young too.
Dad had a need for reconstruction appraisals to be done on some of our insured's homes.
What does that mean, reconstruction appraisals?
We basically went out with a tape measure and a Polaroid camera and took square footage dimensions of the properties we insured and photographs, and I'd bring that information back along with characteristics of a home and try to determine if we had to reconstruct this home today, what would it cost?
Okay.
And then I'd hand that information off to Dad, and he would adjust insurance limits to match those values.
Just to make sure that the limits were up to the level that they would need to be if something took place.
Right.
Okay.
And so that started giving me a feel of, again, working with people. As Dad said, it's very much a people business. Sort of gave me an interest. As Dad said, he really never pushed the business on us. And as I was looking forward to college, I sort of assumed that I would pursue business and at least try the agency with having the opportunity of it being there because it was in the family. It's what I knew and saw the opportunity.
Now, how much conversation would the two of you have had about that, say, at the time you left for college? Would that have been an intentional conversation, or would you have waited till after college to talk about the possibility that you'd actually work professionally together?
I think the intent for me was that he would come into the business. In fact, when we looked at schools, we looked at schools that had insurance majors.
Okay.
At the time, I remember Georgia University had the highest number of students in insurance.
Okay.
Penn State had number two. And so I went up there and we talked to the head of that department, and I looked at the curriculum and I thought, if he has any interest, it'll peak here if he gets to know that. I did not have the advantage of going to a school that had an insurance major.
Right.
So I had to learn it in a different manner.
Sure.
But for Greg, I thought if he got that kind of an education with that kind of a major, he'd be coming into it at a real advantage.
Yeah, for sure.
I felt that was one area. But even through that process, even though we were hopeful that he would come in, I don't think at any point did we twist an arm or say, you've got to come home and do this.
Now, I can remember having a conversation when I was planning on going to school where Dad was saying about the opportunities that existed there, that while we clearly, as parents, want you to do what you want to do and where your passions are, he did spell out the opportunity that existed to build from what the business was and what it could be.
But it came across as a choice.
Absolutely. And I've always looked up to Dad as a mentor, have had a high respect for him, and really took that to heart.
That's a great pattern that you established, because a lot of the family business owners that I talk to are very afraid of doing what you didn't want to do, Joel, and that's pressure their children into joining the family business. They don't want to do that, which I have great respect for. But what I see happening a lot of times is I see them going all the way to the other end of the spectrum, to the point where the children don't even really have an understanding of the opportunity that exists there should they choose that. And then, of course, then when they go away to school, if they do, they're made aware of lots of other opportunities, as young people are today, for all kinds of different careers. And it almost creates an uneven playing field because they're not very knowledgeable about the family business and the opportunities there. So what we encourage is generally around the age of 16 to start to educate the young people about the family business, be very clear that it's not being done for pressure reasons or to build any expectation, but just to be transparent about the very unique opportunities that exist in family business ownership should the young people be potentially interested in it. And so your sets a really nice pattern for that. And I suspect in some way or another, your dad, Clifford, did that for you, perhaps just not in as formal a manner. Would that be true, Joel?
He handled it in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't force my hand. There was a time that I thought of not going into his business, of getting out of Myerstown and going somewhere else to do something else. But I was married at the time, and my roots were pretty deep in my hometown. So my wife and I ultimately decided that we should stay there, and that my best opportunity was within the family.
And indeed, that came to be the case.
Absolutely.
And one of the challenges, of course, that you have is that you didn't have one son, you had two sons. And of course, John is not with us today because I was challenged enough by the fact of having two guys to interview at one time, let alone if I'd add Jonathan here. Yeah. But Greg, you and John are partners.
Yes.
And so that brings an additional level of challenge into how you make that transition. Greg, you were in the business first. John didn't come along for a certain number of years. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how that transition took place, Joel, how you kind of set that up so that Greg would have an opportunity, and then subsequently John, what kind of process you went through.
Well, I think anytime anyone looks at their children, they're all gifted differently.
Yes.
Jonathan is a great mechanic. He loves to work with his hands.
Mm-hmm.
His desire was to go into construction business, and he followed that pattern. He went to a tech school, and he got into that for a while, and he was living at home. He used to ask me about the business occasionally, and I remember it was one summer, and it was a hot summer, and he was putting on roofs.
I think we know where this is headed, don't we?
And I think he decided, I don't think I want to do this all my life. And then we talked about how he could get into it, and my final discussion with him is, John, if you don't try it now, you'll never know.
Yes.
So we allowed him to try it. Because I said, if it doesn't work, you still have those other skills. You can use those skills and go back to where you were.
He had something to fall back on, really, if insurance wasn't for him.
So he came into it and picked up on it. And I think Greg had a lot to do with his training and the acceptance of where he was. And from there on, John made a commitment to the business, too.
And now you have a partnership. Could you talk a little bit about your partnership, Greg, and about how you acquired the business from your dad? What was involved in that? Because obviously there's a process there.
I came into the business in 1985 after graduating from Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Not Georgia.
Not Georgia.
Penn State.
And I came into the business thinking, I'll give it 2 years to see how I really like it. If I don't like it, I'll be young enough that I could move on to something else. And 24 years later, here I am. John came in 2 years after I did.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Dad was still actively involved in the business, but what I appreciated in the transition was that Dad early on would give us projects that we could lead.
Yes, opportunities to make your mark.
Right, to kind of test the water. And the first project that we took on was automating the agency.
Well, surely you didn't want to do that, Joel. Give that to the young people, right?
Well, automation wasn't as much of a factor as it is today.
Sure.
And I don't want to take that away from Greg, what he's just about to say, but I want to tell you this, that we represented a company, the Aetna, who offered us a computer, and the box looked like a refrigerator. We had two other stations in the office there. And after I put it in, I was the first one in the area that had this, and I thought, I'm set for life.
With that big refrigerator,
Yeah.
Many generations of computers later, we're still paying for it.
Oh, I'll tell you.
We could write books on what we've gone through over the years.
Goodness. Never dreamed that it would be so.
Come a long way.
But that project, it was the first time of sort of leading people. And the dynamic that I had in the business was that I was very aware of being stereotyped as the boss's son. Everyone had been there many years more than I had been.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt that I wanted to work with these people that had good people on board, but there was a real desire to want to earn their respect. And managing that project allowed me to do that because it was new territory for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And to manage change and have us come through in a supporting role and helping, I think, really has helped me when I look back in establishing credibility, not for someone who was higher up, because we've always run pretty flat organizationally, but just to earn the respect and to come alongside the people I worked with to lead us in new territories and take us forward.
So in that way, your dad very much chose wisely by giving you a project that led into territory that other people did not have expertise in.
Right.
It allowed you an opportunity to earn your respect that way.
Right. So that project, other than putting us on the road to technology, was just a real help in looking back on my managerial career,
mm-hmm.
in working with people, because we were dealing with problems and change and all the dynamics that go on. And they came along beautifully. Some of those people are still with us today. And John came in, as we mentioned, 2 years after I came in, at the time where that was sort of up and running. Both John and I, in getting involved in the business, were kind of under the wing of the old Aetna Insurance Company,
mm-hmm.
with some of their training programs.
So you had a perspective other than just the way things were done at Zinn, which allowed you maybe an opportunity to think if there were ways that,
right.
you could potentially do things better as time went on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very excited when John came in the business. I didn't view that as something divisive, but something that was going to benefit us because of our talents being different. I think to this day, not to say that we don't have disagreements or we wouldn't do things differently, but we respect the differences and really try to park ego aside, because our business does business, have clients who are family businesses. And so we've seen where family businesses can be divided,
mm-hmm.
where egos and personalities get in the way.
They sure can.
And so we've been very intentional. And again, it's not to say that we're not challenged on that from time to time, but that overriding purpose or overriding goal of valuing the relationship and valuing one another and making that something that's going to make us stronger rather than divisive has sustained us as a partnership and has grown us over the years as partners and brothers.
Seeing your differences through that lens is a healthy way to see it, because you're going to have differences, you're going to have disagreements, you have different talents and you have different ways of going about doing things. But seeing that as a strength rather than seeing that as an annoyance, I think is very much a key to being successful in a partnership. You guys obviously had a financial transition that you needed to go through so that you and John could eventually acquire ownership from Joel.
Mm-hmm.
Joel, how did you get that process started? What was your vision for moving ownership from the second to the third generation?
Fortunately, through some of the agents' associations that we had and the seminars we were able to go to, they had a 3-day seminar on agency perpetuation.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back prior to Greg even being in the agency. We knew he was considering. But I took my wife along.
Mm-hmm.
We heard a number of speakers talking about the process of perpetuation, including the financial aspect of it. And we learned of a consultant out of California who was highly regarded. And we knew that he was in the agency appraisal business.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew also that we'd have to make an expenditure doing this, which we felt was probably the best expenditure we ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was forthright with us in all that he told us about our agency. He presented to us financial ways to perpetuate the agency.
Some options.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, through that report, got a feeling of what our agency was worth.
Sure. And that allowed you to get a baseline for the transaction?
Right. That started it for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think as Greg and John came into this, for the senior partner, so to speak, and as you get older, you've got to know, you got to let go.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that is really difficult to let go. And as you get older, you got to let go of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a business that's a family business. If you want the boys, excuse me, I always still call them my boys. If you wanted our sons to be successful, we knew that we had to let go of some things and let them move on with some things that they felt were good for the agency.
What was most difficult for you to let go?
I think for me, just making the decisions on personnel.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to let go too much of financial decisions. At that point, I didn't have to do that. And I don't think you have to let go of everything at one time. I don't mean to imply that.
Not even healthy to do that, I don't think.
But you have to make up your mind that the process is going to begin now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to let them come in, then you got to let them take over and you got to let go. Talking to some other friends of mine who had family businesses, and as we talk about it, you got to leave your ego at the door.
Yep.
When you get into that, because if you don't do that, then you could have problems.
I've seen that many times,
yep.
And it's a shame when it happens.
Yes.
I often find that the difficulty in transition has more to do with what you just described, which is getting the prior generation to be willing to let go of some key decisions so that the younger generation can simply learn from it, even if the quality of the decisions that they make aren't as good as what the prior generation would make. I usually find the younger generation, your generation, Greg, willing to take on the mantle of leadership, but often being blocked by the older generation. But it doesn't sound like your dad did that to you too often.
I think being a third generation business, John and I were very blessed in the fact that Dad had the benefit of being in our shoes with his father.
Yes, that had to be a benefit.
And recognizing maybe what a younger generation might be feeling and wanting to kind of lead things differently or mm-hmm. take it forward. I'm sure later in life, as he had to hand things over, he had a better appreciation for maybe what grandpa or his dad
mm-hmm.
may have been feeling. But I think it served John and me very well in the fact that Dad had the benefit of understanding that I need to let go here for their benefit as well as part of the process that they were going through. And that whole financial process, just in scope of time, from the time Mom and Dad went to that seminar and brought in the consultant, by the time that consultant came in, we were just getting in the business, and in terms of valuing the agency, Dad was very intentional of keeping John and me as part of that process, even though it was mainly affecting their lives on that end. It served as a tremendous learning experience in understanding the process of everything that had to be considered financially.
Because you were working right along in the process as Joel was explaining
right.
it to you. Plus that transparency piece, just being open with your sons about what was going on.
I think also we recognized that both of them were ambitious sons.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just sitting on the sidelines waiting for their mother and I to walk out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I really believe as we saw them coming up, any so-called challenge we gave to them, they picked up on it and moved ahead with it. So we felt comfortable and confident in their abilities to do that. And so we were blessed in that area that they had those abilities.
Do you remember a day, Greg, when you thought about the enormity of the financial responsibility you were taking on? Did it ever hit you that way? Because obviously your dad was essentially leaving money in the business, I guess the way you set it up, and a structured buyout over time. Did you ever sort of lie in bed at night and say, what have I done here?
It's one of those things that I actually look back now, Roger, in hindsight, and think, wow, why wasn't I more overwhelmed at the moment? But, you know, I think there was a level of confidence when John and I financially started the transaction of buying the business. Dad was still involved in some degree. We had had some experience up to this point of making decisions for the company
mm-hmm.
and still had as a mentor. It's been a blessing to me to be able to work with Dad. And I'm so thankful that I had that opportunity and his experience to help us as we went through those early years. For us, what changed the company was within a year of starting the buyout of Mom and Dad, we had the opportunity to buy another family business.
Yes.
in Lebanon, which we did. And in hindsight, I scratched my head. What was I thinking?
Took either courage or stupidity, right?
Now we're on the other side with those things behind us. And it's just been a great move. But at the moment when I took that on, and maybe it was just being young and naive, I really didn't feel overwhelmed or lack confidence that we could do this.
I'm wondering if one of the keys to that was your dad treating this as a process rather than an event. You were exposing them, Joel, to the finances of the business, exposing them to the valuation process. And so it wasn't like there was a D-Day that where everything went down. Obviously, there's a day where you signed ownership papers, but you very much treated it as a process, didn't you?
Yes. I think it was a joint effort in this regard that we never held back in showing our boys where the company was financially.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the opportunity to know what a balance sheet looked like and They knew what a P&L was. Mm-hmm. And so when we came to that point of appraising and transition of ownership, I would have never put them in a position that I felt was leading to failure.
Yeah.
That would not have benefited me nor them. So we looked at that very closely and studied that and met with a consultant more than once on that matter.
Roger, it was very much a process that served us all well. I think from the time we started exploring different structures of the financials and operational, it was probably at least 3-4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And so by the time that actual transaction date came, it just...
Part of the process.
Right.
And you obviously, Joel, I think you said earlier that some of the expenditures that you made in terms of engaging some outside expertise for valuation, for some of the relational family issues, for some of the legal and accounting issues, were good investments on your part. And you were an early adopter of that type of outside help, I'm sure.
I think one has to know what limitations you have. I knew that I needed help in that area. I would have never have tried to do this without some kind of professional consultant because I knew what my limitations were. And I think one has to know that as well for as a business owner. You have to work within those limitations. And if it's beyond there, then you get help in getting opinions so that you can bring another viewpoint to it.
And that goes back to something you said just a few minutes ago, which is when you get to a transaction or a situation in life as important as this, check your ego at the door.
You've got to, yes.
And you clearly did that. Greg, I have to ask you, between you and John, you collectively have 3 children. I think Ryan's the oldest at 15, so we're very premature with this. But all of the things being equal, would it be cool to someday see a 4th generation of Zins running the family insurance business?
It would be. As you mentioned, it's a long way off, and I think John and I both are taking the same approach as our parents did, and that we really want our kids to pursue their dreams and their wishes, knowing that the family business is there. Putting my personal feelings into it, it would be great to see the agency perpetuate to a 4th generation. There are things closer in view to us that need attention and challenges to make sure we get to that point of the 4th generation, but we certainly are trying to keep that option going by keeping a healthy, growing company today.
And one lesson I'm going to draw out of that, and then I'll have a few other comments and ask each of you guys for a closing lesson learned about family transition. But I think one of the other things is that we really encourage family business owners to live a healthy, balanced life. And of course, I believe in that period. It's one of our values at North Group. But beyond that, one of the stigmas that we need to overcome when we talk to the next generation about family business ownership is that their dad was absent or their mom was too absorbed by the business. And so I think one of the lessons that I've learned several times over as I've talked to generational family business owners is enjoy the business that you're in. Keep it in perspective and allow the business to be a positive player in your family experience. And it seems to me one of the reasons that I so wanted to have both of you gentlemen on here with me today is that you've been able to do that. Joel, you've been able to have an excellent business, a family business, have your wife involved in it and supporting you with it, have your sons follow you into the business and live a healthy life, contributing broadly to the community, enjoying some vacation time and not having the stress of running a business completely dominating your life. And I think that's one of the lessons that we all need to learn as business owners is that our children are probably not going to be particularly attracted to our business, no matter how financially lucrative it might be, if they don't see you enjoying the business. And I see both of you have done that over the years, enjoyed the relationships that came out of it, enjoyed the challenges that came along with it. And I think you've set a wonderful example that way. Are there other lessons learned that either of you would like to share just about the whole business of family business transition? It's a big subject.
I just want to speak to what you just observed about the time put into a business. I think today's generation looks at a business a little differently than my generation did. Not that they aren't as conscientious as I was. I don't mean to imply that. And I think that the boys learned something from me. In my time, it seemed like I had to spend 12 to 15 hours a day at times.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do have regrets that you didn't spend enough time with your family in coming up. My wife, when it comes to family business, she also had to balance that with perhaps raising the boys more than I did because she was at home.
Mm-hmm.
And while the boys never say to me about that, I think they really feel that I want to try to spend a little more time with my family, with this generation, than I did. I'm not trying to condemn myself for that. That's just the way it was in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really put your mind to being active in the community, doing the work that had to be done, and then trying to raise your family besides that. That's another consideration that has to be made when my generation is transitioning a business over to the next generation. Just because they may not want to put in the R's, I'm not saying they don't, doesn't mean it's not going to work, because it has worked in our situation. And I'm proud of the sons that have picked up on that, because their families are very important to them, as mine were too. But today they have a lot more challenges than I had raising my two sons. I think society has given them more challenge to do that. And I think that's another area that has to be considered when you're doing these transitions.
Wonderful advice. And also there's strength in numbers, in that you were running the business by yourself.
Yeah.
John and Greg are able to support each other at the same time as they support their very high commitments to their wives and families. Greg, a lesson learned about family business transition?
I just view it as a blessing in my life, being able to work with my brother, John, and having the benefit of working with Dad. I still view him as a mentor, even though he's not actively involved in the business. It's just great to have his perspective. For family businesses out there, I just encourage you to keep the value of the family high and the relationships of one another. And as you mentioned, Roger, not separating the two. And I think sometimes when we say we're going to separate our work from our personal lives, it's an unrealistic.
It is unrealistic.
Goal of having, because it is part of your life. It's part of what we all do, whether you're actively involved in the business as a spouse supporting it or whatever. The key is understanding how we integrate personal values and personal life and mixing that with work. And when we can blend the two, it can be very fulfilling and rewarding.
And I'm quite confident that it will. And I thank you, Greg, and you, Joel, for giving our firm an opportunity to work with you through some of the challenges of growing a business and growing past the transition stage and growing through a partnership and preparing for this business to be successful well into the future. And someday we could be having a conversation about how you guys would be preparing for the fourth generation to come in. And I hope I'm still around to support you at that time.
Thanks, Roger. You've been a great asset to me personally in my leadership work. Just as Dad mentioned about the benefit of having outside advice and outside perspective, you and your team at North Group have been that for us. Sometimes within a closely held company, or especially a family business, it's so easy to get blinders on. And sometimes to have the benefit of outside perspective, even in the day-to-day operational challenges that as your business evolves and faces, to have that perspective is just valuable, and take the opportunity to say thanks.
Well, thank you for that. It's a pleasure for all of us at North Group to have the opportunity to walk through the different challenges and transitions that exist in family businesses. And yours is just a wonderful example of how to do it well. And we feel like we're well positioned to help other family businesses in the future perpetuate into the future, and other privately held businesses as well. They're not all family businesses, but we just love to see these privately held businesses perpetuate into the next generation, because they really are the backbone of the American economy. Thanks so much, Greg and Joel.
Thank you for having us.
Just a pleasure to be here with you today, to have your friends on and record Straightforward today. It was just a beautiful thing. I enjoyed it very much. Have a great day, everybody.
North Group Consultants continues to provide direction for your future through sustained relationships. We identify issues by conducting assessments, provide assistance during organizational transitions, and develop leaders through coaching and accountability. As always, thank you for listening to Straightforward.